segunda show.
Gloamies, happy new year. Wow, it's 2019. Here we are. We're back on our grinds. We're making espresso at home. We're making smoothies. We're using a rice cooker. We're doing all the things that make us glowier. Yes, they all include consuming food, but that's okay too. We need food. So there's nothing wrong with that. You guys, happy new year. This episode is a phone call with me and Caroline. We did another little phone catch up. She just got back from Mexico City. She talks all about her trip, all about the awesome food she had. What did she find? What did she think about crickets? Keep listening to find out. You guys, as always, I have some tour dates to announce and to share. I'm coming to, very soon, next week, I'm coming to Philly, DC, and Seattle, Los Angeles, Nashville. So if you're interested in seeing my stand-up, please follow me on Instagram at Esther Monster. Get ticket links, get all that, get tickets, come see me if I'm coming to your city. And you guys, happy new year, enjoy this episode. As always, follow us on Instagram at Glowing Up Podcast. You got Caroline on Instagram at porkchop.biz, and we're all looking forward to a glowy year together. Enjoy.
Let's get ready to be
I had so much fun. Mexico is the most amazing place. And I don't mean this at all in a way to like lessen Mexico's amazingness, but there are parts of Mexico where you really feel like you are in the middle of a small European town. I went to all these amazing cities where there were like cobblestone streets and amazing coffee and just the best food. It was eye-opening. I have a whole new appreciation for Mexico. It was amazing. The food, the headline was really the food. I mean, I busted my ass to research places because I went to Mexico City and like, yes, there are a lot of really nice like 4-star restaurants there, but that's really not my vibe. Like, I'm not going to Mexico City to sit at a white tablecloth restaurant and like get this fancy ass meal. I want to go to like where the locals are going, places where I'm going to be getting this like delicious stewed goat that's like made traditionally by a Mexican grandma over an oak fire. You know, I want to go to a place where I walk in and ideally there are like few to no other white travelers. Like, that's how I know I did my job. So I busted my ass researching just local treasures, and it totally paid off. I mean, I had some of the most amazing meals of my life. I mean, the one downside was I ate so much meat, and meat really fucks with you. And I'm not even talking like your weight or like your skin. I was having nightmares every single night.
What?
It was because of the meat. Because when I tell you I was having every single night violent nightmares, I would have multiple per night. I had dreams that I was getting fired from Corden and like just the most awful dreams. And I'm like, well, what am I doing differently? Why am I having these nightmares? I'm like, because I'm eating meat 2 times a day, having a big meat dinner before I go to sleep. That has to be it.
What? Wait, that's like basically sounds insane to me. I can't get behind that. I'm a vegan. Like, I don't understand. Don't you think it's more that you were just in a foreign country and like exploring and like living a very different, like, to me it sounds so much like your environment sounds more impactful than eating meat, right?
Look, I mean, I'm just gonna say, like, I thought you of all people would support my meat terror hypothesis.
I want to get behind it, but logic wins out. Like, this is, I mean, it could be a thing. It just sounds so wild to me.
I completely believe it. I have a whole new, like, fear of eating meat. Like, I'm coming off of this trip. I mean, again, the food I ate was so great, but I think I'm going to really reduce my meat consumption and, like, limit it to once a week or something like that, because I saw the dark side of meat on this trip. And all I'm saying is Google nightmares after pork and you'll see.
Really?
Meat terrors. They're a thing.
So this is, like, a research known thing.
Look, I'm not saying, like, there have been scientific, you know, journals that have published papers on it, but I think there's anecdotal evidence that meat terrors are real.
Was it hard to not eat meat in Mexico?
Yes. Yes. Okay. I think, again, like I said, there were, especially in Mexico City, there were some really nice restaurants, and a lot of those would have really acceptable vegetarian options. But if you're, like, trying to go off the beaten path and go with the flow, and like we talked about, when you're traveling, you're kind of in crisis mode all the time. And sometimes you're starving and you're like, fuck, we need to, like, literally duck in anywhere and get food because we're starving. And in moments like that, you're going to be ducking into a taqueria. There's not going to be amazing vegetarian options. And look, I mean, there are beans and rice, but, you know, the beans are often cooked in lard and, like, things like that to keep in mind if you're really hardcore vegan. But that being said, it was so fun. And I ate some of the most memorable meals of definitely of my entire life. I mean, I know I keep saying this, but I went to this one restaurant that was open on Christmas Day, and I had read about it online somewhere, and it was called La Polar. And we walk in, and it's this two-story, almost like the vibe of a Chili's or a TGI Fridays, where it's completely packed with families. There are two dueling mariachi bands, and there are no white people in there, which I think is a good sign. Completely packed on Christmas Day. And they have one item on the menu, which is like, is that not such a turn-on?
What is it?
It's their famous stewed goat. In Spanish, it's called birria. And it's just like the most succulent, stewed, slow-cooked, fall-off-the-bone goat. And they just serve it with some minor condiments like chopped onions and fresh avocado and tortillas. And you just make your own tacos. And it was just one of the most memorable, amazing, low-key dining experiences of my entire life.
Wow, that is so cool. Was the avocado fresher, richer? Like, was it better there?
It was pretty good. I mean, all the avocados we eat, I learned most of them come from Mexico. So we're getting Mexican avocados anyway here.
But you're closer to them there. So in theory, I'm like, okay, are they better because you're getting them?
Look, in the restaurants, they were really good, but it's hard to know if those are pre-selected to be good. I mean, it's tough with fruits and vegetables in Mexico. Like, I tried a lot of amazing fruits and vegetables in the markets. Oh my God, I tried some amazing fruits and vegetables that I had never had before. My mind was blown. It was like the excitement you had when you tried a persimmon the first time. I had that like 5 times with all new fruits.
What?
Yes.
Tell us what fruits. Bitch.
Bitch, you know I'm not gonna, you know I'm gonna be straight up with you and tell you about the fruits. Have you ever heard of, oh my God, fuck, I don't want to mess it up. I think guayabana, hold on, let me make sure I'm getting it right. You can hear me texting, it's so embarrassing. I'm typing it up. Yes, guayabana.
No, what is that?
No. Oh, maybe I'm thinking of cherimoya. Whatever. It's this giant, delicious, soft fruit that has these big seeds, and it tastes like a mix between a banana and a mango and a pineapple. Like, I can't even. What? I know. I can barely even.
Is there any way to make that happen here, or is it you can only have it
there? Oh, I'm sorry. It's a cherimoya. I'm such an idiot. It's a fucking cherimoya. They have them at the farmer's market sometimes. They are so good. They're so weird and bizarre and exciting. The mangoes in Mexico, the tiny mangoes, they're the best mangoes you've ever had. The flesh doesn't get stuck in your teeth. They're literally magical.
Now, I saw you posted something. You posted a photo early on in the trip of chilaquiles, and I have to ask, like, they looked so good. Can you please walk me through the fresh chilaquiles of Mexico?
Oh, I would love to. Chilaquiles, from what I can garner, is pretty much usually, like, a red or green sauce mixed with, like, crushed up tortilla chips, I want to say. And maybe you have a meat option, but it's best served with egg. And so it's really kind of like that's a really good vegetarian option. Well, the egg is not vegan, obviously, but that was like always an option at most restaurants we went to. And
cool.
It's a pretty simple dish, but the thing that elevates it is in Mexico, the salsas were that bitch. They were that good. For me, a green salsa, a motherfucking salsa verde, that just brings me to my knees. Like, even a random ass thing from the supermarket here I love, but in Mexico, the art of the salsa verde was elevated to new levels. Levels that...
salsa is, like, to me, a jarred salsa is literally dog shit. It's so gross. They're never good. They always taste weird. When we're talking about fresh house-made salsas, like, that is what gets me up in the morning. The thought of the image of your chilaquiles with that fresh salsa verde, like, had me dripping in all the right places.
Bitch, I was wet. I'm getting wet talking about it. Like, every hole is pouring out squirt right now. They were so good. And I don't want it to transition into starting like I'm bragging, but again, the restaurants I went to, they were so good. I mean, all Glomies, feel free to hit me up in the DMs and I'll do my best to get you my recs, because I don't want to like drone on and on the podcast. But I mean, it was really a food trip. That was the highlight. We did a street food tour, which was so amazing. We had this recommendation for a tour guide who specialized in street food. And we just got these like amazing street quesadillas with mushrooms in them. Ugh, they were so good. It was really fun. Yeah. And I know I talked a big game on the podcast about bugs before leaving. I predicted I would go to Mexico and come back this bug loving, you know, I would be snacking on crickets like every damn day. Like, I had all these big dreams for my bug consumption. And I think Esther, you'll be really pleased to hear that I tried crickets. I didn't hate them. But I don't think crickets are going to become, like, a really big staple snack for me.
Okay, look, I don't want to act like, you know, that's what I was rooting for. I don't need to act like I'm winning with that, you know. I want you to like bugs. I do.
Really?
Like, I want us to be different. I don't want to like bugs, but it would have been fine with me if you liked bugs, but, you know.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Look, I've seen you eat fish eyes and fish brains. Like, you not liking crickets, you're not really getting any points in my book. Like,
right.
You've already crossed a threshold. We're not coming back from.
Absolutely. I mean, the crickets were seasoned well, but it's something about, like, here's what it is. There is a little juicy pop when you eat them, and you have to kind of wonder, like, what is that, you know? What's in the cricket? And again, it's like the flavors were there, the crunch was there, but the legs for me, like, ooh, getting legs stuck in your teeth is just mentally, just, it's a mental threshold that I want to cross, but it's a little tough for me. I I was picking, let's just say I was picking cricket legs out of my molars for a good couple hours after I ate the bugs. Yeah, so that was my bug experience. I didn't bring any back, but the sweets of Mexico, I mean, I know I'm just like obsessed with talking about the food. There was other amazing stuff too, like museums and, you know, whatever else I did, don't get me wrong, but the sweets and like the spicy candy, because you know I love spicy chile candy, just being surrounded by some of my dream tastes. I mean, I had the greatest time. And of course, I would be remiss if I didn't speak on the makeup selection of Mexico.
Yes, we need to hear about that.
So yeah, so I, as listeners of Glowing Up know, I live to go to a foreign country and just buy them out of whatever their specialty is, their cult products, like the must-have products. And I did a little research on Mexico, and it's not like there's not this huge community or this huge, there's no like headline, there's not a ton of big headline products, but their one thing is mascara. Apparently Mexico is so famous for their mascara. Like when I went into these small little beauty stores, I did not they had the most dazzling array of colorful, sparkly mascaras, brands that you've never heard of. Like it almost seemed like this own cottage industry in itself, just Mexican mascaras that were just so gorgeous. And I had like no idea what any of them did. And shout out to Glomies, who hit me up in the DMs and gave me some amazing recommendations. So I brought home a couple, and they're full of like amazing, nutritive, strengthening oils. Like, I got you one, Esther. Don't worry.
Oh, my God. Wait, what is it?
I got a mixture. I got one that has avocado oil in it. That's apparently amazing for strengthening your lashes, and it looks really nice. I feel like that one is so perfect for you. I got one that's infused with mamey oil, which is another kind of, like, nut or something that's supposed to be good for your lashes. And I got, they have like their own version of a great lash, which is like pink and green tube. And apparently it's like more of a dramatic look. But they're like totally, when you see them, you'll love it. It's like, looks like a small business made them. Like there's no big corporation on it. It has this like old world feel to the packaging. It's very cute. I'll post pictures on the Glowing Up Instagram for sure.
Thank you. That sounds awesome.
It was so fun. I mean, I had the greatest time. Is there anything better than like just going into of course a farmer's market is great, like an artisanal food market in the center of the city, but even just walking into a local Mexican big box supermarket, I mean, I could get lost for hours just wandering the aisles, seeing what weird flavors of Doritos they have and seeing like, yes. Right? I mean, they had panty liners that were Sanrio themed. My ass put that shit in my cart so fast and brought them the fuck home.
Wait, like, I'm so glad you bought those because I saw them on your Instagram. I didn't even think you'd buy them. I'm so excited.
Oh, it was an immediate purchase for me. I there was no question. It had to be bought.
Now, I have a question back to food a little bit because this is a concern that I have with international travel or any travel really where any situation you're in where you're in that emergency mode, you're kind of having to eat different things, and, you know, you're motivated to because you want to try things, so you won't have a chance to again. Basically, my question is, did you find yourself having, like, stomach aches or, like, not feeling well or digestion issues because you were eating so many different things at different times and all that?
Yes, I think that especially with Mexico where there's issues that you have to, like, not eat ice or, like, be careful of what street food you eat because – like, you know, you can just get diarrhea and you can just get sick. And like, I mean, I'm pretty mindful of that stuff. But I think I had like a mixture of gastrointestinal issues, I think, throughout the trip. Nothing was ever too serious, thank God. But for me, it was more like, it was like, oops, like, I just got mild diarrhea. I don't know what it's from. I don't know it's because I ate both raw fish and shaved pork in the span of 2 hours, like, or if it's because I chewed on the ice in my agua fresca, like, literally who knows what it was. So for me, it was like a lot of letting go and not trying to overanalyze, like, what did this, what made me sick. I brought Pepto-Bismol tablets. That was like a must pack for me. Those are always really good at like just kind of shoring away a wide variety of issues. Yeah. And, you know, you just, I'm about to say this, and I know it's slightly insensitive to your current situation, but I was really thinking of you, and I know I really encourage you to go to Japan, and I'm really proud of you for going. I think you did the right thing, but you were right, and you are right. Walking is kind of a huge part of what balances out that kind of crazy array of food you're eating, you know? That's a big part of, like, what keeps you going and, like, what makes it okay. Because you really, when you're traveling, sometimes you're just going meal to meal. You're like, I'm going out to this breakfast place and then I'm going out to this lunch place. It's like you're living your food life in a way that you probably never normally would at home. Like, I was eating out 3 meals a day, which is insane. I would never do that at home.
Yeah, I mean, I'm also glad I went to Japan, but it was kind of depressing, like, going out to breakfast and then, like, not moving for 3 hours and then going out to lunch. Like, you feel that, you know? It's, like, not fun to go out to a big meal when you don't feel like you've earned it in any way. It is a bummer. And I mean, I am having weight insecurity right now, which is a whole other thing, but I do appreciate you at least pointing that out. And I'm curious, do you feel, and I apologize if this is like a eating disorder sensitive question, but I'm curious enough to ask, like, do you feel like you left Mexico like, oh, I ate so much, like I think I put weight on, or do you feel like you actually lost weight because of how active you were?
I think it was net neutral. I don't think I really went in either way. I mean, I was walking a lot. And I mean, it really goes to show, like, walking is a completely valid form of exercise. Like, I was reading. I feel like I phrased that weird, but it's, like, not only valid, I feel like it's necessary and we all need to find a way. Like, I was reading, Esther, of course, you are the OG walking queen. We're never going to take that away from you. But I was reading an interview with one of my goddesses and icons, Kathy Griffin, who obviously is looking so amazing and she really has her body on tight and on point for the last couple of years. And someone asked her, Kathy, what do you do for exercise every day? And I just assumed she had a trainer and like all this stuff. But she said something that I thought was so interesting, that she religiously every day will walk 6 to 7 miles, which is a lot. I mean, that's like at least an hour, like possibly an hour and a half. And then she'll just come
home.
Yeah, I mean, that's quite a bit. That is quite a lot. And then she'll come home and do like arm circles or sit-ups or something like that. I mean, I was walking so much and like, no, I wasn't. My heart rate wasn't like rising or anything, but I was like feeling good and I was feeling lean and like it was great. Like it felt great to, it's like what our legs should be doing. And I walk and I just don't do it that often.
This is like my fitness platform because I feel like I'm constantly in fights with all my college friends. They're like, walking isn't a workout. I need a real workout. And I'm like, no, walking is a workout. It's awesome. Walking to me, it's like, it has anxiety and depression benefits, it has physical benefits, like it's just so, to me it's like, you know, when people say a banana, Kim Snyder always says like a banana is the perfect food, it comes in its wrapper, it has all these, like, to me that's walking is the perfect form of exercise. It's like right there, it's free, it's accessible, you know, you can go to an indoor mall and walk if you don't have a gym membership and you're in a place that's cold right now because the winter. Like, I just think it's such a great form of exercise. It is a real form of exercise. Like, fuck all my friends who say it isn't. And it's like, yeah, I get it. I know that you want to get your heart rate up and all that, but I stand for walking. I think it's awesome.
It's completely available. It's free. It's not like damaging on your joints and like,
yeah.
And yes, it's cold right now in a lot of places, but like when it warms up a little bit, you can like walk for miles around your neighborhood and see all this stuff. I mean, it's hard for me. Like, I don't know. it's hard, like, to find the time. Like, I don't know if it'd be a matter of, like, waking up at 6 and, like, putting in my headphones and, like, walking around my neighborhood. I guess it's not that crazy. But, I mean, it was – that's, like, the best part of vacation, just having that excuse to, like, walk and walk. And, like, my exercise was, you know, right there in the day. And it was also, mm-hmm. like, completely practical and was taking me from place to place. You know? It was the best.
Yeah, it feels good to be a useful engine and to use your body to get you from point A to point B. It just, there's something about it that just feels so good.
It was a maze. It was so a maze. I mean, so the headline is really like the small cities were so fun. Also, we took buses all around Mexico, and I was kind of like, oh, what's that going to be like? Because when I think of buses in America, I think, oh, like, Megabus or Greyhound, where it's like you're crammed in and they're like dirty and it's like not pleasant at all. But in Mexico, taking the bus was so easy, so lovely, and for such a relatively small amount of money, you can get like a first class bus ticket, which just gives you this like plush seat and like a leg rest and a TV and a phone charger. I'm like, nothing like this exists in America. And it's just like, of course, like in countries where they actually use public transportation and they use forms of transportation, it's like the systems are so much more evolved there. It's just depressing sometimes.
Ugh.
And I have to say this, as a fellow cheap queen, I really have to speak to how fun it is to visit a cheap country. Like, things are so cheap in Mexico. It just makes it so, like, when I was in Spain, I was, like, so, I, like, didn't want to go out to eat. And even just going into a church would cost, like, $10 to see the church. And you're, like, always kind of anxious. Like, you've already spent all this money on your plane ticket. And you're there for one time in your life. So you feel like you should do all this stuff. But you're, like, fuck, like, I'm going to be fucking thousands in the hole after this trip. But in Mexico, we were just, John and I are both really cheap people. And we had no anxieties about spending money because, like, museums were $2. Souvenirs were, like, $2. Beautiful painted ceramic bowls were, like, $3. Meals were cheap. You know, a subway ride was 25 cents. Like, amounts of money that were, like, we were, like, laughing and smiling with joy as we threw down our credit cards, which for us is usually, like, where the anxiety of the trip is. So shout out to visiting a cheap country. It is just that much more fun, especially when you're traveling on a dime. You, like, don't feel bad at all about eating out, like, just doing the fun things you want to be doing.
That is awesome. Now, what did you guys do for where you stayed?
We did a mixture of Airbnbs, which were amazing. You know, if you book an Airbnb somewhat in advance, it's so easy to find, like, an Airbnb that's really well-reviewed. And, like, you can just tell, like, when something's going to be good. And in Mexico City, we had this Airbnb that was, like, to me, it was cheap, but I think it was, like, somewhere between 50 and 70 a night, which is nothing. I mean, hotels are obviously, like, $400 or $500. Like, that's a great deal. And it was in a high-rise with a doorman, and it was just, like, in this perfect part of town, and it was just so cute. When we went to the Sierra Gordas, which is, like, the Mexican jungle / rainforest, which is, I still don't really get where we went, but we did this like guided tour thing where we were in a beautiful cabin. I was so scared that there was going to be bugs and like mosquitoes, and it was going to be this like dinky cabin, but it was so cute and so nice and so clean. And then we treated ourselves in one of the other cities we went to, and we stayed in a hotel, which is like so rare for me. I'm the cheapest person. I never want to shell up for a hotel, but in Mexico, it was like less than $100 a night for a beautiful boutique artisanal hotel and like a 200-year-old home. It was just gorgeous.
Damn, that is awesome.
I know. It was fun. I just, every time I travel, I'm like reignited. I want to keep traveling. Like, I'm already planning my next trip. It's just, it really is the joy of life. I really believe that.
Where do you want to go next?
I'm really interested in going to a couple places. Obviously, Japan is like always on my list, but after going to a cheap country, I'm kind of getting excited about maybe going to somewhere like Thailand, where just imagine like the Thai food you'd eat and the pad Thai like every damn day. Ugh.
That, thinking about pad Thai definitely makes me want to go to Thailand, as shitty as that sounds. Like,
I mean, well, you know, there's beautiful temples and like other amazing things, but that food, I mean, come on, that food would be insane. So I'm thinking Thailand. I also really want to go to China. As crazy as this sounds, I have so many friends that have told me that I would love China. And not to get too shady and illegal on the podcast, but I've heard rumors of in China, there are these big famous fabric markets where they're selling counterfeit goods, like the most amazing counterfeit bags left and right. But the most interesting thing that you can do in these fabric markets is what my one friend told me is you can take in, let's say you have like a beautiful, unique designer coat, which I don't have and neither do you, but let's just assume like one of us has like a powder blue YSL coat or something that fits perfectly. It was $20,000, like, you know, whatever. You can go in with any item of clothing into the Chinese fabric market, and there are certain tailors where you'll say, can you remake me this exact coat with either the same fabric or the same fabric but in a different color, or like you take in your most well-fitting designer item that is the most treasured piece in your closet and you say, can you remake this for me in this color or with a slightly different fabric? And then in 24 hours for like $2 or something, you have a remade version of the most expensive beloved thing in your closet.
What?
Oh no, I've heard crazy shit about China, girl. Crazy.
Wait, I am interested, even though I don't have anything nice to duplicate.
Same, but you know what I mean. Like, shit could get real.
Even just, like, the thought of taking, like, my perfect favorite t-shirt.
Yes. I mean, I knew you would say that, and I don't think that's what it's for, but you know what? Like, yes, you can, girl. Yes, you can. So I'm thinking maybe something like that. I mean, there are so many places I want to visit. I already can't wait to go back to Mexico. It's so close. It's a hop, skip, and a jump away from most places in America. It was a great. I really throw down. It was really fun. Oh my God. And I almost forgot to talk about my biggest Mexican food discovery. Oh my God. Esther, what? I discovered there's something in Mexico. It's this ancient alcohol that they were drinking in Aztec times. It's this really integral part of Mexican culture, and I had never heard of it. It's called pulque, and it's basically a fermented alcoholic drink made from agave plants, which is like, you know, agave lip mask. Are you? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're with me.
Hello.
Hi. But it's really not alcoholic. It tastes exactly like kombucha. It's like that same alcohol level where it kind of tastes like a little boozy, but it's not actually going to get you drunk. And it's so thick and so nutritive and is full of probiotics and like all these vitamins and this gut healing stuff. And it has this like slimy texture. And it's this integral part of Mexican culture. There are pulquerias where it's like people are just like sitting and drinking, but it honestly was like kombucha on crack. I was obsessed with it. At the pulquerias, they have fresh flavors that they switch out every day. And when I tell you the oatmeal pulque with cinnamon on top was not the best taste I've ever had in my life, I am not kidding you. I was obsessed. In Mexico City, it was by far the best. And the rest of the trip was me desperately trying to recreate those tastes and that texture. And I never quite reached it, but like I want to go back to Mexico City just to drink more pulque. It was, if anyone in the Los Angeles area has the pulque hookup, please let me know.
Wow.
I mean,
that is so exciting.
Mexican kombucha, but like on another level, and it's a big social event, and it's ancient, and it's like steeped in culture and history. Why hasn't that not taken off in the States yet?
Yeah, you know, I really wish there were more things that we had more culture like that wasn't surrounded with like partying and getting drunk, or even like coffee is still a drug, like you do get high off of it. Like, I don't know, I just wish that we had more things that weren't just about making your brain altered and were just like about celebrating a taste.
I feel like coffee is our closest thing to that, but it's like not as big in Mexico because beer took over in the 50s, and the big beer companies put out propaganda about pulque so like people would stop drinking it. It's just like a really interesting drink. Oh yeah, there's pulque drama, and I learned all about it. So that was like my big, huge discovery of life, of the trip, like to discover a world and a drink that you knew nothing about. It just made me, it was eye-opening.
Damn, that is what travel is for. It's like discovering that new thing and then taking that inspiration with you into the new year. Like I love it.
And so that was my trip, and now I'm back. I'm like trying to catch up on my TV and like hit that new year, drinking water, intermittent fasting, like we're hitting it big.
And we are just out of time.
I know. We just had to do our little phone call catch up, but it's the new year. We've got real in-person guests that are going to blow minds this year.
I know. And we have a lot of exciting things coming up that I've almost like just spilled them out because I'm so excited, but I won't out of respect for this partnership.
Please keep that respect in check. Girl, I'm so happy we got to catch up. I feel like I just talked that whole time and I didn't get any of your updates.
We needed to hear about this trip. Are you kidding? Like, we're all feeling so inspired now and ready to plan our next trip.
True. Well, I can't wait to see you and catch up and drink oat milk lattes and hear more about what you did for the holidays. But I guess it'll just have to be our next hang.
Stay tuned. Okay, cool. Well, Glomies, thanks for listening. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye. Let's glow, 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 glow.
Sure.